Welcome back, everyone. It's part two of the Me to We Talk podcast. And yes, it is the Truth Serum series, where we promise to tell you the truth.
The whole truth.
And nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
Yes. And like I said, it's part two. Okay.
Dose.
Oh my goodness. You guys, I already know we're going to get some answers given to you. Things that have been on your heart. God is going to use this gentleman to help you see the light.
I promise you this. Some yokes have been broken. I can say that much.
Yes. I can tell you that even between us.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, mine has. That's why I know somebody else's has.
Right. But you're mine. We're one flesh. So that's what I said. If you're getting healed, I'm getting healed.
Amen.
Too. All right. Well, you all, again, I just want to, again, give a quick reintroduction to our guest. And if you guys didn't listen to the first episode, you better go back and listen to the first one first and then come back and listen to the second one. But we have a licensed professional counselor with us with a Master of Arts in Clinical Counseling from Denver Seminary. And again, his name is Jay Brandenburg now, okay? Oh, because he lives in the now, all right? And he gave us such great insight last time. We got him back here again. And Jay, can we bring you back onto the line and give you honor where honor is due?
Hello. It's good to be back with you guys.
Thank you, Jay, for coming back. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I kind of want to just pick up where we left off, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about at the end of our last episode is we were talking about how sometimes with trauma, there can be some dissociation. And I want to make sure that I give a clear understanding of what dissociation is and give you the definition, everyone who's listening. So if you have an opportunity, write this down. But it's the disconnection or separation of something from something else, or the state of being disconnected. Okay. Would you agree with that, Jay?
Absolutely. You know, there's healthy dissociation and then there's unhealthy dissociation. You know, we all have the ability to do it. It's like, you know, when you're driving in the car going somewhere and you get lost in your thoughts and you get to the place you're going and you can't remember how long it took. That's dissociation. Mm-hmm. There's another side of it too. It's when you're, you know, if you're being intimate with your partner and you have an out-of-body experience where you go away because it's too hard to be connected in that moment, or it stirs up something that you're not ready to touch or deal with.
Wow.
So dissociation's designed by God. It's been given to us as actually a really helpful thing to manage pain that we're not able to manage. Mm. But what happens is God doesn't leave us in that state. And so what'll happen a lot of times is marriage will stir up old wounds and old things that happened that have been buried. Mm. And so when you're in a committed relationship, some of those traumas get touched. And what God wants to do is heal that stuff. He wants to bring us back to that moment and bring restoration to it.
Yeah.
But we don't do well with that. And so we have to create safety, and we've got to create spaces where people can talk about and name the harm that's been done.
You know, when you say that, if I may be transparent in this moment, I do believe, especially from a female perspective, women often are very sexualized or blamed, yeah, and blamed for someone else desiring them in return. And
absolutely.
And I remember being in a setting where it was a youth group and everyone was, you know, hanging out and everybody was having fun. And there was a older person that normally didn't come to our youth group, but, you know, was around us for some reason.
Yeah.
And I just remember him asking me a bunch of questions about the youth group, and I was super excited about it. And I was like, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I was just so excited because I thought he was learning from me. And, you know, I was naive. I didn't know any better. And I will never forget how he said, hey, well, I'm going to leave. Can I give you a hug? And I was just like, oh, okay. And so I gave him a hug. But when he hugged me inappropriately. Mm-hmm. And I felt so dirty in that moment. But I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know why I felt wrong in that moment. And it made it where I was so closed off. And I know it's silly, but it's just maybe to some, they're like, oh, it was just a hug, but it was an inappropriate hug. And where his hands landed when he hugged me too was absolutely inappropriate.
Right.
For his age, my age, any age. And yes. What ended up happening, and what I noticed happened in life as I was getting married, my husband would want to hug me and I wouldn't want to hug right away. I would want to talk a little bit longer and see what was going on. And, you know, talking to you and listening to you in when we recorded last with you, it made me think about how it was even difficult for me to hug my own children, my boys. Mm-hmm. And I had to literally go into some, you know, deep prayer, deep healing, and just say, hey, I didn't do that. You know, they did that and I experienced that. And I love my children and I want them to know how much mommy loves them back. And what I end up realizing is that I believe that, you know, because of the trauma, and it wasn't just that one gentleman, it was other people that would try to encroach upon me and make me feel unsafe, to the point where I pulled away. I pulled away so hard, you know, and I end up learning from that. I think that is the reason why God gave me three boys. Right. You know, and I adore them, and I see them so differently because of those traumas or those times people attempted to encroach upon my space, make me feel unsafe. You know, to the point where I don't want to walk alone, you know?
Right.
So when I'm talking to a lot of our listeners, and I'm speaking a little bit for our female listeners, you are right when it comes to rape. There's been quite a bit of it. And so they have a disjointed way of looking at sex, and it's not as pleasurable or almost, I've heard in some other instances, and I want to make sure that, that we keep this secure, but I will say that the person, the way that they described it is that whenever they were intimate, it almost took like something similar to the trauma to get them sexually aroused. And that I didn't understand. And so, Jay, I'm hoping you can help me understand. But then they go on to get married and they have this dysfunctional sexual relationship with their mate and they don't know how to get out of it.
Yeah. And so what we're talking about is trauma. And what trauma does is it destroys our ability to be a child.
Mm. Wow.
And if you think about children without trauma, what do they do? They're joyful. Can play and they can dream and they have imagination. And it's so funny. Jesus says, in order to enter the kingdom, you must become like a little child. What he's saying is we must become what we were originally created to be.
Yeah.
And what trauma does to a kid is it breaks trust. Mm-hmm. You know, scripture talks about three things. It talks about faith, hope, and love.
Right.
And the greatest of these is love. Well, what is faith? Faith is the ability to put our weight in something. It's like you're at youth group and this is a safe place and you've had good relationships and you were not thinking this person wants to touch me inappropriately. It wasn't even on your mind because this place you were in was safe, right?
Yeah.
And in that moment where that trust was broken, what happened to your ability to hope? Mm. So when trust is broken, the opposite of trust is betrayal. Mm-hmm. It's when somebody that we trust does something out of character and it causes us to question us and them. And it creates an environment where we can't dream or hope. So sex then becomes a tool as opposed to an experience.
Yes.
In Jesus, when we feel loved, we have the ability, and hope is this idea that we can imagine. So when you get married, you stand at the altar and you have this imagination, right? We're going to have kids someday and we're going to have a house and we're going to go on vacation. And then, you know, that wedding night happens and it's like something happens where there's a betrayal and we all do it. And then our ability to go, I'm okay, is replaced with fear and replaced with control. You can't have fear without control.
Right.
And so when you think about the people that respond to their abuse hypersexually, that's a form of control. I'm not going to let you hurt me. What I'm going to do is control this thing and I'll just be sexual. Mm-hmm. And that way nobody can hurt me. Or I'll go the opposite direction and you can't touch me. Mm-hmm. And so when you're being touched, all that pain and trauma that's unhealed gets stirred up.
Yeah.
It gets, what we call it in the field is, it gets triggered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what happens is trauma creates what I call stuck in times. You can be a healthy adult man or a healthy adult woman in so many areas, but you could be walking down the mall and somebody with a cologne that smelled like, you know, the cologne of somebody that harmed you can cause you to feel like a scared little kid in a moment.
That's a good point.
And that kid shows up and acts out.
What are other common triggers, Jay? What are other ones? Because you're saying smelling, you know, scents and things. What else?
So if you think about any experience involves all five of the senses, right?
Right.
So taste, touch, smell, sight, hearing. So it could be a sound, you know, if let's say that, you know, one of your traumas could be you were in a car accident. So if you hear a loud noise, right, your mm-hmm. body goes into this fight, flight, freeze response without ever having to think about it. That's the beauty too about our nervous system, is that it encodes these traumas in our memory in a way that's easy to recall, so we don't have to think about it. It's and the purpose of that is the body is really trying to keep safe. Mm. The problem is if we don't resolve the trauma and really create safe space to talk about it and heal it, our bodies take over and we keep reliving it.
Wow.
Here's an example, okay? If a tiger showed up in your room right now, what would the two of you do?
I'd run. I'd run like hell. What are you talking about?
You wouldn't, right? You wouldn't think about it. You wouldn't go, oh, there's a tiger in here. I wonder if it's tame, right? Because somewhere... right? Something in you says danger. And so the moment that man held you inappropriately, it encoded something in your brain where it gave you a set of glasses to look at the world through. That now men in this capacity are suspicious and dangerous.
Mm, that's true.
That is so
and
true.
It stole from you shalom, peace. It stole from you a safety. Yeah. And inevitably, this is the thing, we are most harmed in this world by other people. And isn't it interesting that it's through other people that God uses other people to bring the most healing?
Amen.
Jay, that's a very good point, because when I think about my wife, when our kids are younger, we take them to the playground. We see a gentleman at the playground without a child. My wife wouldn't even give him the benefit of the doubt. She would automatically think he's there for lascivious reasons, simply because of the fact of, you know, what's taking place, that hug and things like that. Because, you know, why else is he there? That, you know, no benefit of doubt. Why is he here? He doesn't have a kid around him. Why is he here?
Yeah.
Right.
And that took a long time. And you're right when you say that it took another person to heal. It was a pastor that meant so much to me, and he's passed on since then. Mm. And he literally sat me down and said, why do you believe that the Lord looks at you that way, that he loves that way, you know? Give him more credit, you know, than what you're giving him, you know? And that not everyone in this world is bad, and not that we shouldn't look out for those that are not, but what could change this? And I just remember him going through steps and helping me, and it was just, he just really, in my mind, I felt God used him to cultivate back up my heart and my love languages, and in order for me to love again. And the next step was, you know, marrying my husband. You know, I've never been loved the way that I am loved by my husband, and I do feel safe and I do feel protected, and I want other couples to have that same experience, you know?
Yeah. Let me say this, a way to identify, this is what I do to help my clients identify where they've been wounded. So many of us, what we do is we repress or we shut down or we push down our wounds. One of the funniest things that happens, me and my colleagues laugh about this, not in a, we don't make fun of our clients, that's not what I'm saying, but we have this thing that we give for intakes where it's an adverse childhood experience checklist.
Oh.
And I would say 90% of the people that fill it out write NA in a big line down it. and they come in with a story of, my childhood was fine, everything's good. Mm-hmm. And inevitably what we find is that what we've had to do to survive is we have to create a narrative and a story that helps us survive.
That's a good point.
And so what we do is we repress a lot of things. And so what I would say is a healthy way to really get into this is I say to my clients, present passions are windows to wounds.
Mm.
Where you are presently passionate is a window to a place where there's been some wounding. Mm. And passions can be positive or negative. So an example of this is I really like to give gifts. I'm a good gift giver. It matters to me. And conversely, I've gone into debt giving gifts.
Oh, wow.
I have spent money I do not have to make my children happy with something with something they don't need.
Right.
Now, and then I had to go, what is that about for me? Mm. Well, I know as a little boy what it was like to have something promised and not delivered.
Mm.
So where I'm wounded is often a place also where I make a vow. Mm. And that vow becomes a character that I play to be safe.
That was so deep, Jay.
That is so good.
That was my childhood again.
No, that's our yeah. marriage. What are we doing right now? Like, we like yeah. helping marriages. Connell, come on.
No, for real. And Jay, when you were yeah. saying that, it had me reflecting on when I was a child, because what happens when you have the trauma, like you were saying, you try to, in my case, I think I tried to downplay it. Like, it wasn't that bad.
Yep.
Like, for instance, yes. I know I was taken advantage of by a female babysitter when I was younger. Mm. And then what's
the message in that, right? As a boy, mm-hmm. to be yeah. sexually harmed by a woman, what have we said to boys about that?
Oh. I mean, honestly, society, you tell a boy, you always tell a boy you want an older woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You kind of
yeah.
put that out there.
They'll say that wasn't trauma. You know, that was, you're the man.
Right.
You know, that's how they treat them.
Yeah.
Because I know when I yep. finally told my older cousins, they didn't make a big deal about it. They would like, they actually smile like, so what's your problem?
Mm. Yeah.
When I look back at it, it's like I had to laugh it off to actually kind of get through it. Like, I had to tell myself it wasn't a big deal. Because yeah. of the fact that, you know, I was only like maybe 7 and doing things that I didn't know what I was doing, and my body was doing things I didn't know. And then society also tells a male that you can't be touched. You know what I mean? Like, if a woman touches you, if you got aroused, then you want, on some yep. level, you wanted it.
Mm.
Yeah. This is something I really want people to hear. Thank you for saying this, because the human body, our sexual organs were designed for pleasure. Little babies in the womb get erections.
Mm-hmm.
Kids get sexually aroused. It's normal.
It is.
But what happens in abuse is that arousal happens and our body does something that our mind can't comprehend. Mm-hmm. And so it creates this, it's like, why is my body responding to this abuse? Like, why does this feel good? But I know it's so dangerous and so bad, and I know it's not what I want.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so what people will do is they then will repress that stuff, and then they shame themselves. Like, yeah. like, what's wrong with me? Here's the thing. God created our bodies to be explored and to be enjoyed. But when they're used in inappropriate ways, and when our arousal templates are activated at a young age, a little boy and a little girl, they have no way to comprehend what's even happening.
That's mm-hmm. true. That's
and then true. They're given a message in the church that sex before marriage is bad. So now this thing's been turned on. But, you know, through abuse that I can't turn off, and I am confused by, and now I'm being told that it's bad.
Yeah.
So if my body does this, that must mean I'm bad, right?
Yeah.
Can I say this too, Jay? Then there's an additional yeah. stigma at, you know, in certain communities, especially, I mean, I think it's in most families and communities, but I will tell you, it really happens in I would say people of color communities. Like, there yeah. may be a situation where you're sitting across the, you know, the table on Thanksgiving from your abuser, and everybody knows,
yes.
but nobody talks about it. And so then
we
we've learned this behavior, and then we don't talk about it when we get into our marriage, and we do this certain situation like what happened with my husband, where, you know, you're the man, you're supposed to be okay, there's nothing wrong with it, and if you did get aroused, then you liked it, you know.
Yeah.
And yep. you know what I'm saying, where they turn it and make it a shame and put the label on that you were speaking of earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So in that dynamic, what a kid will learn to do to stay safe is they'll learn to either shut down their sexuality, or they'll go to the opposite end of the spectrum and they'll reactivate their sexuality and they'll play it out, right? And so we get to marriage with all this mixed information, and marriage is supposed to be the context in which God brings healing.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be a context where Father, Son, and Spirit, and we're in the middle of this beautiful relationship. And so we can begin to heal. But what a lot of times these messages give us is shame. And shame always leads to hiding.
Yeah.
It always leads to self-sufficiency, becoming our own gods, if you will.
Wow.
And if you think about it, I mean, think about this. We grew up we are living in a country that was founded upon the principles of shame. The people that founded this country came to our country escaping persecution and danger, right?
Right.
And when they got here, they, you know, half the people die, you know, in the first year. Like, they are in this season of survival. And so what we talk about is our biggest kind of freedom in our country, right? It's, you can be your own man.
Mm.
If you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, heal yourself, you can be whatever you want. But it really lacks this ability to say, what does it look like to actually be in community? We cannot heal apart from community.
It's so true.
That's a good point. I want to go back into something you said a little while ago as well, because what I've noticed, when you do have that trauma, for some reason or another, and I think society has a part of it too, you blame yourself for, like, what did I do wrong to make them focus on me? And then even when you tell an adult, like, what happened, they'll come back and say, well, what did you do to make this person do that to you? And then, so it's like, it's coming at you both ways. You're internalizing it yourself, and then a grown up or somebody you trust comes at you with it. So how do you win, or how do you even get past that?
We need people in our lives that are willing to sit and hear our stories without judgment, but with wisdom. Mm.
Yeah.
And wisdom says that I honor what happened to you, and says, and we need to figure out how to bring healing to that, to those stories. It's so interesting. The way Jesus brought healing is he asked people to tell him their stories. He was curious. He was invitational. Hey, you know, the woman at the well, he already knew what had happened, but he says, hey, tell me your story. What happened to you? Mm-hmm. And I think when we create environments where it's safe to tell our stories without fear of judgment or retribution, and then we can begin to talk about how have we responded to this story? And how does this story have power in our lives? And what are the behaviors that I've allowed into my life that keep me from pain or keep re-inflicting pain upon myself, right? That's when we begin to work on behavior. But I think we're so focused in the church on behavior that we miss relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's all birthed out of fear.
Yeah. Everything starts clicking to me, Jay. Because I promise you, when you were talking about, like, kind of hearing the story and empathizing with it per se, I remember when Rhonda said, she told me that I knew she felt some type of way when we first got married. You know, we say our marriage bed is undefiled. So every time before we made love, I would always ask her, is it okay? I would literally ask for permission to touch her.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that literally let down her guard, and her walls would come down, because nobody ever, like, that man, by touching her, he took that away from her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, a yoke was broken there. You know, I will never forget that on our wedding night. And he asked me, and I was just like, but I'm your wife, you know, I'm these things. And he said, I want to know if it's okay and if I have your permission. Yep. And then he told me he would never hurt me. Oh my God, it makes me emotional.
Yeah.
And when he said that to me, he said, you're always safe. I'm always going to protect you, and I love you. And when he did that, I felt so safe. I felt so protected. And our intimacy level, which I feel is 100% different always from sex. Sex is the cherry on top, but the intimacy, it went to a whole nother level because of that. Yeah,
absolutely. And here's the thing too, that the thing research has shown that heals trauma the most is actually creating space for people to tell their story. Mm-hmm. It's also the very thing that triggers a response. So in the telling of the story, your body is going to be re-experiencing the trauma. So that's what makes it so difficult, and why most of us dissociate from our trauma or want to kind of run ahead of it or get stuck in it, is because we don't want to re-experience it. But the body is the part of us that's on the journey. You know, our bodies are what actually experience the trauma as we're kids and as we're growing up. And so we have to learn to be kind to ourselves in that space. And we really need a safe place to talk about it.
Yeah.
So you will know what your pain is if you pay attention to your passion. Mm. When do you get really, really angry? Mm. When do you get really sad? When do you get really happy? There's always a story.
Mm. I see mine already.
I know mine.
In class yesterday, when I was getting passionate about the sister, because
mm-hmm.
I hate to see women get done wrong. And I'm very passionate about that not happening to women.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that my father did my mother so wrong, love him to death.
Yeah.
But like whenever I see that, like I really want to run and help somebody.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. I see it too. And I'm so passionate about my children.
Yeah.
It's because I remember being taken advantage of as a child, and so I'm always on guard. And plus I'm just a mama bear anyway, Jay. So so that's never gonna change. But I think you brought some great information in here. And I want to ask you, you know, what are some tips? What are some things that, you know, we can start doing on the inside or even at our homes?
Or even look out for.
Or look out for.
So we don't get to that point.
Yeah.
Well, let's start with shameless, one at a time.
Shameless plug is, it's not about sex. Mm. It's never about sex. It's always about something deeper. Just like it's not about porn, it's about something deeper. And so the work is find a good trusted guide that you can be completely honest with. My good friend, I have a dear friend named Paul Young, and as he's walked with me through my healing journey, he always says this to me. He says, we're only as sick as our secrets.
Oh, gosh. Man, yeah. Like dropping knowledge.
Right? And secrets, you know, I kept the secret of my abuse as a kid because I didn't even know it was abuse. I hadn't, you know, many of us get abused and we don't even know it is until we know it is. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So to find a place to be honest. And a lot of us don't feel that in our marriages yet. And so we can start in a, you know, like you talk about that dear pastor that was willing to walk with you in that season, right? Mm-hmm. To find another woman or to find another man that you can, in a safe space, really process some of those wounds. And I say this to my couples, you don't have a marriage problem. You've got wounds that you brought into marriage. Mm. And God wants to heal them. And often when we touch a wound, it hurts.
Yeah.
And anytime my wound hurts, I have three options. I can hide from it, I can deal with it, or I can try to ignore it, or we can face it. But by ignoring it, it just keeps growing, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It gets infected. Mm-hmm. And so when you meet those moments, and if there's moments in a marriage where sex feels where these passions get kind of stirred up and our wounds get stirred up, to be kind to one another in that, mm-hmm. and to invite each other into our stories.
Yeah.
I remember being so scared to tell my story. Mm-hmm. And what actually happened in the telling of my story is I realized that God is so kind and he doesn't force us into things. He's patient and he will, you know, and when you trust him with this part of your story, he will show up in it.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen. Hey, Jay, if you don't mind me asking,
yeah.
What was your story by chance? I apologize. We didn't even get into
only
that.
If you feel comfortable.
Yeah. So I'll share my early childhood story. I think that's probably the context that fits this. Grew up in a broken home. Mom and dad divorced when I was two. Was sexually abused by a neighbor kid when I was five. And never really dealt with it until I was in grad school. So I was in grad school becoming a therapist. I was in a cohort group, which is about 10 other students. We'd meet once a week for an hour. And everybody in the group was invited to tell their life story. And I had been so trained to tell my story because I'd been in ministry before that I was like, I'll go first. And I kind of shared the 30,000 foot view of my life and, you know, parents divorced, but, you know, mom remarried and really kind of shared this story with a tidy bow on it. The next week, I'm sitting in the same group and one of my fellow students began to share his story and he started to talk about his sexual abuse at five. Mm-hmm. And I remember the feeling in my body. I couldn't look up, and inside of me there was this voice that said, please shut up. Mm-hmm. Everybody's experienced this. This is so ridiculous. Like, why are we talking about like this part of me that was so obstinate and so passionate about this place. Mm-hmm. And the professor said, has anybody else ever experienced this? And kind of like without looking up and with indignation, kind of fully expecting that every person in the circle would do this, I put my hand in the air. And then I looked up and realized it was just me, the student that had shared, and one other person. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have abuse in my story. And it was the invitation I needed to actually go, what in the world happened to me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, and now I can talk about it because there's been so much healing through a lot of hard work and really just experiencing God's grace in that place. And yeah, so.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, yep. Healing goodness. Is so possible.
It's so possible. It's so powerful and it's so prevalent.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, that's right.
Like
that's
we tell right. People, we tell people all the time, Jay, God always lets the devil go first because your victory is right around the corner, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always. Always.
Yeah.
And I appreciate right. you for taking that time and being transparent and sharing with us because you didn't have
oh,
to.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no. It's an honor. You know, you can't take somebody where you haven't been, right?
Amen. Agreed. Amen.
Yeah. Counseling is important to me, not just as a profession, but as a way of living. So.
Absolutely. Thank you. You know? Oh my God, that's so good. You got my heart just pumping. And I know so many of these people that are listening are going to be like, I feel this. I hear this.
Yes.
This is speaking to my spirit, to my soul.
And yeah.
We got to find ways for them, you know, to connect to you because I believe that you have great councilman. You know, you're a councilman, but you're a wise person. And on top of that, I can hear the love of God on you.
Yes.
And
sometimes, oh, thank you.
You know how you can tell the difference when I believe people that don't judge or don't have a spirit of judgment on them have been through things. And when you've been through things and you've hit the floor, the threshing floor in a sense, right? You can't judge anybody because you've been there and you know how to get up again, and people need help getting back up again.
Right.
That's what we need more of in this world. And so please tell us how we can connect to you, Jay.
How
can our listeners respond and
find
you?
Simplest way is you can go to my website. It's my initials, JBN as in Nancy, counseling.com. So JBNcounseling.com, and there's a contact me form there. And I'm really well connected, and if I can't help, I will definitely do my best to get people connected to the right help. So,
amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Yeah. We're gonna make sure we have it in the show notes for you.
Correct.
And we're gonna tell them to go to your website, and we're gonna tell them to make sure that they invest in themselves and getting a good person to hear them. But if you don't, I'm telling you all, reach out to Jay.
Yeah.
Thank
Jay,
you.
Absolutely.
We appreciate your heart. We appreciate everything that you gave the listeners today, Jay. And we're just thankful that we got a chance to get to know you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And love what you do, and would love to be a part of anything you need. So any way I can help.
Oh, you said it on tape, Jay. I'm holding you to it. Hold you to it.
He said it. We got you locked and loaded.
No take backs.
So it's now, an honor. It's
when
a
we
blessing.
Start calling you Jay, you know why. Okay. We're like, Jay, one more thing, one more time. No, thank you so much. And it would be an honor to have you back more than once, twice, 30 times, whatever God says, we're going to do it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. He said, okay.
Thank you
I got
so
him
much.
Now. Thank you, Jay. And everyone else, again, if you are going through a trauma, we're going to keep a telephone number for you to reach out so that you can contact someone to speak about this, because we don't want you to have to deal with this anymore. It's not your burden to bear. We're telling you to give it up and put it on the altar, give it to God, and let him take it from there, and let's get some complete healing in your life. And part of that is going to start with you making a decision today to move forward with God in it, okay?
Agreed.
Thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for paying attention, and thank you for letting us tell you the truth.
And thank you for letting us tell you the whole truth.
And thank you for letting us tell you nothing but the truth.
So help me God.
Thank you all, and we'll see you soon.